This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Clock is ticking for Real ID, and the deadline starts 12:01 a.m. tomorrow. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen and our director of digital content, mastermind Andy Lindberg, is at Pittsburgh International getting ready for a leisure flight first. Andy, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good. We want to know, since TSA rearranged the process yesterday, how's it going today?
It was really smooth, Larry. Only less than 10-minute wait for security at the main checkpoint. Actually, security, it's so low that they actually closed the alternative checkpoint this morning after the morning rush. So everybody's going through the main security checkpoint right now. And like I said, it was under 10 minutes to get through and talk to a couple of the TSA people about Real ID starting tomorrow.
Andrew, before we move on to that, what time did you get to the security checkpoint?
Let's see. We probably got there around 8:45 and we're through. I'm walking to my gate right now. So 15, 20 minutes it took me from walking into the airport to get to this point.
And now we hear TSA is saying starting tomorrow, at least for the foreseeable future, they're recommending a 3-hour arrival before your scheduled departure. And you said you talked to TSA. What happens if you get to the airport tomorrow and you don't have Real ID or a passport?
Well, so I don't know if I'm breaking any news here, Larry, but I talked to one TSA agent that told me tomorrow is not going to be a big deal. And she told me, now this is just one TSA agent that works at the airport and is not a spokesperson, not a representative, but if you don't have a Real ID, you will be able to fly tomorrow. So she used the phrase soft launch.
Uh-huh. So that is breaking news.
Take that with for what you will. Now, again, I want to emphasize this is not from an official TSA spokesperson, just the woman that was scanning my items before I put them in the X-ray scanner. But she said, I don't know why everyone's making this a big deal, because this is going to be a soft launch. So I wouldn't risk it. But if there are people that don't have the Real ID or passport, it doesn't sound like it's going to be the big kerfuffle that it could be. But we will see.
You know, we were speculating on a hypothesis a couple of weeks ago in the newsroom about what would be a workaround. And it sounds like that exactly what's going on. Maybe people are going to get a warning or something.
That's what I'm thinking. I know I've said this twice, but I just want to make sure this is not an official TSA statement. This is just something I heard from one of the security guards, one of the security people that are working here. So if you forget your Real ID, you may get lucky tomorrow. I'll put it like that. How's that?
But to your point, you want to try to avoid that. However, curious how long the process will take if it slows down getting through TSA. That's the big question for everybody else that's got their Real ID or a passport. They just want to go,
right?
So it'll be interesting. Here's another scenario, guys. Maybe somebody like you, Andy, bless you, who's leaving.
Excuse me.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Sorry.
Somebody like you who's leaving before the deadline kicks in, but is coming back after. What if somebody doesn't have real ID today, they get on a plane, and then they remember they're in another city, and that's
Right. Right, and so I don't have my real ID. I have my passport that I carry with me, because that is a valid ID that you can use. That is a real ID. Your passport, your driver's license does need to be a real ID. So I'm using my passport, and then when my license expires next year, I'm going to get my real ID. But until then, I'm using my passport. So I'm prepared. But yeah, like you said, Larry, if you're leaving today and you come back tomorrow, Thursday or Friday, and you don't have, I don't know, because they didn't say anything, but maybe the TSA is giving a warning at security today, like, hey, just a reminder, you're going to need that real ID if you plan on coming back. But like I told you earlier, when I talked to that worker, you know, are they really going to keep somebody from getting home on, you know, tomorrow or Thursday?
Well, I guess we're going to find out soon enough. But that said, it does open up the question. There are a lot of people that just want to fly, that got all their stuff together, that may be detained time-wise getting through TSA, or maybe not. We'll see. But
That's a good point, Larry. I just want to mention real quick, because even if people don't have their real ID and are able to fly tomorrow, you don't know what the delay is going to be on them being, you know, warned and what that. So I would definitely get to the airport early still, no matter what.
And that said, also, what about other cities might not be as lenient as one city or another? You know what I mean? If you go to, I don't know, pick a city, Philadelphia, New York.
Like I'm saying, I wouldn't risk it. I wouldn't risk it. But, you know, that was one worker out of the how many thousands of TSA employees that there are. So maybe I just happen to talk to the one in the know, or maybe, you know, who knows.
All right, safe travels, Andrew.
Thanks. I'll talk to you on Friday and let you know how that is going at the airport from Nashville.
All right, enjoy your country music getaway.
Thank you, sir.
Andy Lindberg, who's our director of digital content.
I really like what he had to say, and from what he's repeating he heard from the TSA worker, that sounds pretty convincing.
It sounds like it makes sense.
It sounds like something that's going to happen.
So. It would be absolute chaos if they don't have an intermediary opportunity. Like, okay.
And it may be the reason behind the 3-hour warning.
Yeah.
You know, get here 3 hours, because they may be warning people and going through some paperwork of some kind, perhaps. I don't know.
We'll be on it tomorrow morning on the Big K Morning Show. It's with you wherever you go, AUDACY, and we'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather information like we had a week ago. And every Tuesday, we check in with Lynn Hayes Freeland. She was not with us last week. You missed the big storm here, Lynn. Oh, it was nasty. Really nasty. How about 90, 95 mile an hour winds that just decimated trees and roofs, and still thousands of people without power a week later?
Yeah, you know what, Larry? I was actually traveling last week, and I was, turns out, there were a lot of people from Pittsburgh on the trip with me. So most of them were constantly calling back. Do we have power yet? What's going on? So I felt like I was able to live through that vicariously. But it is crazy to me that here it is Tuesday again, and there are still people without power. I don't know if you've updated this story or not, but I've been trying to track these senior citizens in the Douglas high-rise building out in Wilkinsburg, because I know that building. I know people who have lived there. And I don't know what you do with senior citizens in a building with no electricity for a week.
Oh, it's been a big deal. Now, if you're one of the people, obviously the vast majority of people now have their power back, but through the course of the week, days and days, and nobody can ever remember this widespread power outage and taking so long to restore it.
No, I was trying to rack my brain. I remember there was, I think it was like a tornado that came through Mount Washington.
You know when that was, Lynn? When was it? June 1998. I was on the air, and we went live, commercial free, from 5:30 p.m. to 11:30 that night.
Mm.
And that was obviously a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, it's funny, but I remember it like it was yesterday, Larry, because not only was I working in news at that point, but our power went out in my parents' home. And my mother was bedridden at the time. She was dependent on oxygen. She had a feeding tube. And we were literally panicking. Fortunately, our next door neighbor had a generator and so was able to take care of my mother's needs. But ever since that time, I've always in my head said, I'm going to get me a generator. Still haven't done it, but because it doesn't happen that often. But when it does happen, you need it.
Well, I joked, I have a neighbor now, too, that have those generators that power the whole house in seconds after the electricity goes out. And the street's dark except for... his house looks like the Gateway Clipper fleet ready to launch. You know, I mean, every light is on. And then you're right. It's not cheap. However, if you have it, it's great. But it's inexpensive, or it's too expensive for most people. And then it doesn't happen all that often, or does it?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to. Now, funny you mention that, because I have these light bulbs that have batteries in the socket part, the part you screw into the lamp. And so they stay charged. You use them like regular light bulbs, but when the power goes out, you still have lights. That's a big help, but it doesn't, you know, deal with things like your refrigerator or other needs. So there have been times that my house has looked like a Christmas tree, but not because of a generator, because of these lights with the batteries.
All right, outside of the storm, which was obviously a huge deal here, still is, cleanup continues. What else is on your radar in the news world?
What in the world is happening over at the ballpark? What's going on over there? It just, you know, you kind of hear these stories, and I'm not saying this to come down on the Steelers, but a lot of times you hear fights at Steeler games. You know, there was at one time alcohol was a big contributor to that. It's kind of calmed down now. But I look at two incidents in a short period of time at the ball at PNC Park, and it makes me concerned about behavior over there.
You know, overall, for the first time in 25 years, if you're referring to the fan who fell, by the way, he took steps apparently yesterday.
I heard that today, which is awesome news.
His name is Kevin Markwood, a South Allegheny graduate who's played college football, and happy to hear he's making a recovery when it didn't look good for a while. And then Sunday, after the game, at that incident, that the video's gone viral. But those are really, really isolated. And I've been over there many times. You know, they're pretty tame, especially the baseball games.
Well, I would think so. But here's what happens, Larry, and you know this as well as I do. Something goes viral. People start talking about it. And then, you know, it's like that old game of telephone when you would whisper something to the person next to you and they whisper it on, you know. By the time this thing goes full circle, it's going to be, oh, my goodness, they're spitting at people at PNC Park. Now, granted, that's not the norm. That's not what happens. But, you know, that's the way those stories just, they get legs of their own.
Yeah, they do. And then you have, you know, the comments or the comment pages. If you go down that rabbit hole, it gets, can get pretty dark. All right.
Not going to do it, Larry. I'm not going to look at the comment pages. In fact, I'm at a point now where I think and I know we are the media, but I think the media sometimes should have stories that do not allow for comment, because you know there's nothing good that's going to come from the comments on there.
Lynn, as you know, if you say it's sunny out, somebody's hacked off. So you just go with it. So think about it. What's on the radar otherwise with Lynn Hayes-Breeland coming up on the Big K Morning Show? It's 9:25 from the PJ Fitzpatrick. Yeah, Colin's going to be down on the North Shore. That's Thursday already. The first big show at Acrisure for the season. AC/DC, they were in New England last night where the Patriots play. Apparently it was a great show. And every Tuesday we check in with Lynn Hayes-Breeland. Our conversation continues. Lynn, what on the news radar screen jumps off the page?
Well, I'm curious what's happening with the mayoral race. I know you're doing a big show. Is it Thursday, the 8th?
Thursday, 2 days from
Thursday,
now.
The 8th.
Actually, 48 hours from now at 9:30, we have incumbent Mayor Ed Gainey And the Democratic challenger, who's the Allegheny County Comptroller, Corey O'Connor. And we'll have Lenny McAllister, myself, in studio to ask the questions for a full hour.
So what's the priority these days? It seems to me like there was a lot of conversation early on about affordable housing. And I know there's a need. I respect that. But I also wonder, I mean, here we are getting ready for school to be out for the summer. Kids are free. Has the city or have we resolved issues like the water, not working water fountains and staffing city pools for the kids?
That's a good question. I'll add it to the list. One of the questions is going to be about finance. An interesting dynamic here. So Corey O'Connor's job now, after 13 years, I believe, on city council, the last 3 years he's been the controller who monitors the money. It's an oversight position that's an elected position, and so he knows a lot about where the money is, particularly right now, obviously, with the county. What about the city? Ed Gainey says, hey, we got a $4 million surplus. Job creation is up 19%. And then both have to answer the question about nonprofits participation, which has been up in the air. Crime downtown. Homicide rates are down. Do people feel safe going down to the city? Affordable housing is another one. So there's plenty to talk about.
There's plenty to talk about. And, you know, I was in Pittsburgh, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and I had the opportunity to walk around downtown, which I will be full transparency. Most of the time I come into the city, I'm riding through downtown at best. But I walked around through downtown the last time I was there, and I really had to backtrack on some of the things that I thought and felt, because I had been a big defender on, hey, there's nothing wrong with downtown. It's fine. It's great. I'll go anywhere. There was a different feel in downtown when I was there, and it was concerning to me. But I feel like the responsibility for what's happening downtown is a shared one. Yes, I believe the mayor has a responsibility there. Yes, I believe police have a responsibility there. But I also believe that our business owners have a responsibility there, too. And I think if we could get all of them to work collectively and stop blaming and pointing fingers, we could make downtown a better place, because it does need to be improved, Larry. I actually had to eat some of my words on that after walking through downtown a couple of weeks ago.
And this isn't a problem that's just Pittsburgh's.
Oh, no.
There have been declines across the country, especially after COVID, and you know, it was a ghost town for a long time. Some life is emerging, but not all of it great.
Well, it isn't, and you're absolutely right. I mean, even when I'm in town here in Atlanta, there are a lot of places that I'm not going to walk, I mean, in downtown, because I don't feel safe. And, you know, maybe if I knew the city better, I would feel differently. But, I think that we have to figure out what life after COVID really is. I mean, we kind of saw the COVID, we saw the pandemic, we saw the businesses closed. So now where are we? It's not going to look like it did before COVID and the pandemic. So what is it going to look like, and how do we make it work?
That's a great question. And we're going to get some answers now, hopefully on Thursday, 9:30. Make sure you tune in for the mayoral debate for the Democratic primary. What else is on your radar?
I'll be listening for sure. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm a closet politico whatever.
Email some questions too, because we're putting those together and we're going to prioritize them, and we want to get as much information and answers from the candidates as possible.
Oh, you don't have to tell me twice now. Do I email you now?
Yes. Email me whenever you want.
Okay. All right.
We'll add them to the list. Anything else on your radar?
You know what? That's about it. I just think I'm looking forward to, that's probably not true. I want to circle back when you were talking about the storms coming through Pittsburgh, and we're seeing those storms pop up in a lot of places. At some point, we've got to have some real conversation about climate change and what it means. You know, we're just like, oh, yeah, it's going to be hot. It's going to be storm. Oh, we never had that before. But we got to dig in there and have some real conversations about what is going on with the weather. And how do we address it? How do we fix it? How do we prepare for it? Because I do think we're getting caught off guard a lot with our weather.
It's, yeah, I mean, you people can argue about politics about the weather, but the weather is the weather. I mean, whatever's happening, that's what it is. And the truth is, we've seen some most unusual weather events in this city. Just alone, forget about everybody else on the planet. Just in Pittsburgh, we've had these super mild winters. This winter, temperature-wise, was as cold as it's been in a decade, but we didn't get all that much snow.
Didn't get much snow. And you know what? And you know, I've had this conversation with you. I was a victim of a flood back in, September? Whatever those situations, whether it's a flood, whether it's a tree on your car, or a week without power, those things are traumatic. You don't just get through them and a week later, everything is fine. I still, every time there's a big storm coming, no, doesn't matter where I am, I'm in Atlanta or someplace else, big storm coming, I get a certain amount of anxiety because I know what it can do.
It's done that to a lot of people recently, Lynn, you're right. Well, here we go. 48 hours, we'll be in the midst of our Democratic primary mayoral debate. Lynn will be tuned in. We hope you will be too. And Lynn, we'll talk next Tuesday.
Hold on, before you go, is that at what hour is that in on Thursday?
9:30, 48 hours from now, a.m.
All right, okay.
And happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you so much. I wanted to get into that too, but we don't have time. So it's fine. I'll be there. I'll be listening Thursday.
Give me your Mother's Day. What do you want to say?
No. I was just going to ask you, what do you do for your wife on Mother's Day?
It's not my mother. All right,
see,
Lynn.
That's what...
I'm kidding. That's a joke.
Okay, we're going to leave that right there, Larry.
We'll end it there. Thanks, Lynn.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Lynn Hayes-Breeland. And we're going to check in with Marty Griffin coming up.